We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
You know, Charlie Kirk's memorial is tomorrow. I think that begins at like 1. I think it actually starts at 2. And they are, we want to keep Erica and the kids in our prayers, obviously. Want to be praying for them. There's an amazing moving of God, I think, that is continuing because of this. As Satan meant for evil, God's going to turn around for good. And so the enemy thought, you know, same playbook. I'll kill Jesus. Let's see how well that went. You know, I'll kill Charlie. Okay, let's see how well that goes. They're going to find it's not going to go well at all. And I am excited about the light that's being released right now through the person of Jesus Christ through this martyr, Charlie Kirk. And they are expecting tomorrow possibly the largest audience ever to watch any event on the history of television. Way more than the Super Bowl, way more than watch the landing on the moon. That is incredible. I'm praying that's the case. I pray that when it comes out, it'll be the most watched event ever in the history of the world. And it's amazing. Charlie Kirk said this about church. He said, church is not a place where you go to be affirmed. Church is a place you go to be saved and corrected. Church is not a place where you're told your lifestyle is the greatest thing ever. You go there to be reminded you needed a savior and that your life is currently in error. But people don't like that and say that's not very nice if I tell people that come to church in that way. Okay, so what you're running here is a church which is about correction or elevating the divine is what it is supposed to be. And instead, you might be having a TED talk and organizing parking and above average coffee with a motivational speech and good music with nice lights. What exactly are you running here? You see, a church in its proper context should not be afraid to go against the culture and not conform to the world, but preach the word. So you might be new here, and you get to judge if we do feel-good messages here. And people laugh because they know we do not. We do not. I am not here to make you feel good. I am here to be a mouthpiece of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by giving you God's word that we find in the Bible, I know that I can be true to what it is that God has called me to do. The culture is never supposed to change how we do church. But the church and the word of God is supposed to change the culture. Our reputation here at Calvary Castle Rock is what others say we are. But I want you to know something. I will stand before God someday. And at that moment, I will only care what he has to say about what I did, how I shine my light here on earth. When I teach the word of God here at Calvary Castle Rock, I want you to know my audience is an audience of one. It's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if he is pleased, then I am pleased. Have I been true and honest with his word as I give it out? Do we give praise and honor to our Savior here? Do we serve and do we love one another? This is our goal here. If you are new here, I promise you, I will not be here to make you feel good. But I also promise you, you will be taught the word of God. And so that is my pledge for you. So let's get into the word. And right now, we're in Exodus chapter 34. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll put a Bible in your hand. You might have gone to other churches that, you know, they have a Bible in the pew and things like that. We encourage you to bring a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, one will be provided for you. As a matter of fact, the one being handed out to, keep it. You know, we just want you to have a Bible in your hand. So we're going to be in Exodus chapter 34. We have been going through the book of Exodus. That is why we're in Exodus chapter 34. And we here at Calvary Castle Rock go through book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because we believe that's the only way you can go through the whole Word of God. And so here we are in chapter 34, very interesting area of Scripture. This is the second time Moses has gone up to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. He's been fasting, no food. The first time when he did this, he came back and Israel was in sin, worshiping the golden calf. Moses would then break the tablets containing the Ten Commandments, which he had received on Mount Sinai, being that he was grieved by the sin that he saw Israel was involved with when they broke this covenant with God by worshiping the golden calf. Moses then intervenes with Israel. Then God renews the covenant with Israel, and once again, Moses is invited up to spend another 40 days, 40 nights there on Mount Sinai. And so now he comes down from the mountain again with a new set of tablets containing the Ten Commandments. Yet this time, there's something different about Moses. Let's read it in verse 29. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. The word shone in the Hebrew is karan. And it means to shine, it means to send out rays, or to display or grow horns, or be horned. Okay? Weird. The interesting thing is this word is only used four times in the Old Testament. The other time is in Psalm 69. And it says this, I'll praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hooves. In other words, what God is saying here is I'd rather hear a song that comes from your heart that tells me how thankful that you are than to do a sacrifice of ox or goat or something with horns and hooves. Interesting, the word here, horns, is karan, the same word. However, this word is a noun. And when it's a noun, it's always used as physical horns. But when it's a verb, it always means to shine with rays of light. Things people like Jerome should have known. But Jerome didn't know that. Even though he had it at his disposal, if you don't know Jerome, Jerome is Saint Jerome. He was around 400 AD, about 4th century, and he took it upon himself to be able to translate the Word of God into Latin. Now, he had the Septuagint available to him, and the Septuagint is 70 Jewish scholars who also knew Greek, who translated the Old Testament, which was Hebrew, into Greek. So that was already available. Jerome knew Greek. And so he could have taken just what the Septuagint said, but for whatever reason, he did not. Instead, he took a translation from a guy named Aquila of Sinope. Aquila translated the Hebrew word Quran as meaning horn in these verses. It may sound strange to us, but in ancient times, horns symbolized power, which is why you always see horns on helmets for warriors and things like that, because it speaks of strength and power. Okay, and to be fair, Aquila was careful to write that Moses had the appearance of horns rather than literal horns. So when St. Jerome translated the Bible into Latin, he for whatever reason dropped the appearance of horns and he just said horns. So from the Latin to the English, it would read like this. And when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he held the two tables of the testimony and he knew not that his face was horned. Okay. And Aaron and the children of Israel, seeing the face of Moses horned, were afraid to come near. Well, I imagine so. And they saw the face of Moses when he came out, and he was horned. But he covered his face again at any time he spoke to them. Okay, Dave, why are you telling this? Because I find this fascinating. The Latin Vulgate became very, very popular in the 16th and 8th through the 18th century. Still popular among Catholics today. And it's during this time that we start to see some paintings in Renaissance era and some sculptures being done. Here we have Michelangelo, the sculpture of Moses there in Rome. And you'll notice horns. And if you go to Rome and they were to say, oh, that's Moses and he has the Ten Commandments and this is his face horned, you'd be going, what on earth is that? Because that is the translation that Michelangelo had. And it says that Moses' face was horned. And so he sculpted it that way. Paintings, other drawings came out. This one showed light. But why two? I have no idea. Unless it's also saying he was horned by light. And so, again, it has those two. This next one is also another painting. And you can see Moses has horns there. All right. It just is weird. Kind of creepy. But then they started to get it right. Later on, they started making other pictures of Moses. And he's shining like this, illuminating. Here it kind of shows it this way over here. Okay. All right. That kind of makes a little bit more sense. Now, again, I find this very fascinating that I put my notes in backwards. Here we go. Happens. So Moses, here in Exodus 34, verse 6, before, it would seem that when God showed Moses his glory, when he asked, hey, show me your glory, we see in Exodus 34, verse 6, that God would respond, I am the Lord, the Lord. And the word Lord there is Yahweh. So I am the Yahweh, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And as Moses was before God, and as he has shown him his glory, and as he has proclaimed himself this way to him, and after being up there 40 days and 40 nights, Moses comes down, and he is shining with some of the glory of the Lord. His face is illuminating. Now, Moses is up there, and he shows his total dependence on God by fasting. And he comes back and his face is radiant, shining from being with God. Some 1,400 years later, another person is going to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And then be tested by Satan. Who's that? Jesus. Jesus. Moses is the redeemer of the nation of Israel. Jesus is the redeemer of the world to those who put their faith in him. Moses is a picture. Moses is a shadow of the real Redeemer, Jesus. Both are the mediators of a covenant. Moses of the first covenant, Jesus with the new covenant. I believe that I have misspoken in the past. And as I went through this here this week, I realized, I don't know when exactly, but I know that I've said this before, that Jesus is like the sun. And so we're like the moon and we kind of reflect the sun. That's false. True, in Moses' day, he is radiating from one true light source, God himself, the Yahweh, who is Jesus. But he is radiating from the outside, not from the inside. Big difference. Moses, yes, is like the moon reflecting the sun. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, no. We radiate from within. Jesus is inside of us. And so when we shine for the Lord, it comes from a source of within, the Holy Spirit within us. I think I've said before that we're not the source of that light. And we're not the source of the light, but we have the source of the light in us. And as I was going through the Word of God this week, I'm going, I'm sure I've said that three or four times in my studies throughout the years, that, you know, Jesus is the light, and so he's like the sun, we're like the moon, we reflect the light, we're not that light. That's theologically incorrect. And I love the way how I can continue to learn. I've been teaching the word for over 32 years. And nobody arrives But I got to tell you, I get just as excited to be able to say when I was wrong because I see some other truth that I'm going, oh man, I had this all wrong. And I just hear the Lord going, yep. But there's a difference. I do believe that when you spend time with the Lord in prayer, reading the word, that light shines a little brighter, but it comes from within you. It's not an outside source like it was for Moses. Here in chapter 34, verse 30, it says, so when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And so, because of the radiance of God's glory upon the face of Moses, the people were afraid to come near him. But they did come near him because Moses calls them, and he first talks to the leadership of Israel. Aaron and all the rulers of Israel came to his. Moses spoke to them. And what did he say? It doesn't say. It does not say. He just spoke to them. Okay, I don't know what that conversation was. Don't know if, anything go on while I was gone? Like the last time? Anything I should know about? I would say he spoke most likely to give them the news of the renewed covenant that we went over last time. And so, in order to let the people know about the renewed covenant, I think Moses shows us something when it comes to organizations and things like that, that whatever announcement you make, you kind of need to let the leaders know first. Okay? Need to let the leaders know first. And then he's probably there to encourage them. This time around, I really need you guys to lead them in righteousness, not in sin. Last time I was gone, I left you guys in charge. Guess what? You didn't lead them in righteousness. And you allowed for them to lead you instead. And because of that, our covenant with God was broken. But because he's merciful, gracious, long-suffering, like he showed Moses, I'm sure Moses talked about that with them, he's renewed the covenant. And he's willing to go forward. And so I have a new set of commandments to prove this renewed covenant. Verse 32, afterwards all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. So what is it that the Lord spoke to him all from Mount Sinai? Well, if you just take your hand and go back here to Exodus chapter 24, starting in verse 12 of chapter 24, look at all the things that God spoke to Moses about. He speaks to him about the offerings of the sanctuary in chapter 25. He speaks of the Ark of the Testimony. He speaks of the table of showbread, the furniture, golden lampstand. Then look at chapter 26. He's going to tell him about the tabernacle, you know, how that's to be made. You go over here to chapter 27. Oh, another piece of furniture, the altar burnt offering. He's going to talk to him about the court of the tabernacle. He's going to tell him about the garments of the priesthood in chapter 28. He's going to tell him about all that. And how to consecrate the priesthood in chapter 29. He's telling them all that. Moses is writing all this stuff down. Moses is writing all of this down. Okay. And then in chapter 30, the altar of incense and how the firstborn belonged to him and the ransom money there in chapter 30 as well. And the bronze laver, another piece of furniture, the holy anointing, how to make that, the incense. And then again, how he's going to raise up artisans to build all these things that he's asking them to do. And then he goes over the Sabbath law with him once again. And as he hands him the Ten Commandments and the two tablets of stone to head back, he says, go back now. And he tells him that right at this point, at this time, Israel's in sin. And so chapter 32, he does go down. And as he goes down, he sees that the people are in sin. So he breaks the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And he goes before the Lord and he prays and he intercedes in chapter 33. And so in chapter 34, he goes back up on the mountain and the covenant is renewed again. So Moses has never had time to share with them everything that happened in verses in chapter 24, verse 12, all the way through chapter 31. So all that we have already gone over, he is now going to explain to the people under this renewed covenant, as well as what we went over in chapter 33 and 34 of renewing this covenant. Here's a way for you to be proactive in your faith with me so you won't fall back into idols. And we went over that last time. So when it says here that afterwards he gave them all the commandments, all the Lord has spoken to him on Mount Sinai, that's quite a bit of stuff. And they're kind of going, we're going to build what? And it's going to have what kind of furniture? And who's going to do this? And what is the priesthood going to look like? And what is that all about? And Moses gives it all to them. He gives it all to them. And then verse 33, and when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face, which means when he spoke to them, he didn't have the veil on his face. Okay. He only put the veil on his face after he spoke to the people, after God had given him something to say to the people. And so the rest of the time, as he's walking around camp and everything else, he has a veil on. So he goes on and it says, but whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he'd take the veil off until he came out, and he would come out and speak to the children of Israel. He has the veil off when he's talking to the Lord. When he goes out and speaks to the people, he has the veil off. And he would come out, speak to the children of Israel, whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, which is after he gets done speaking with it, it would be then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him, meaning God. So, why would Moses place a veil over his face after he spoke to the people? We're not told here. Some say it was because they're afraid of Moses, but that was true at first, but not afterwards, because after he heard from God, he always spoke to him without a veil over his face. So they are always able to see his shiny face. And so here is a principle that we believe here at Calvary Castle Rock. Scripture interprets Scripture. We also believe what is called progressive revelation in the Word of God, not outside the Word of God. In the Word of God. So if you were to read Genesis chapter 1, all you would know about God is that he's very, very powerful. That's it. You wouldn't know that he's loving. You wouldn't know that he's gracious. You wouldn't know anything else about it. You would just know he created the heavens and the earth. Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's all you would know. But then you get into chapter 2. And then you get into chapter 3. And then you get into more and more. As you read, you get to understand more about who God is. That's progressive revelation. As you progress through the Word of God, you learn more. And so here, it just ends with that. He veils himself, unveils himself, then he veils himself again, and we're not told why. And so we need to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I love this area of scripture. I love the book of Corinthians. A little background for you. Paul has come under attack from those who wanted to, in a sense, besmirch Paul's credentials. And so they would ask the question, who gave you the authority to be able to teach and do what you're doing? Who's your backing? Well, if you know the story of Paul, Jesus is.
Thanks for spending part of your Tuesday with us on Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. We'll be back tomorrow to continue our study through the book of Exodus. Don't miss it. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.